there. This is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
If you brought a Bible, open with me to Acts chapter 17. And we're going to be looking together beginning at verse 29. Acts 17, verse 29. Paul says, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that God is like gold or silver or stone. Idols, images made by man's design and skill. Now in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands people everywhere to repent." Remember, we talked about the fact that in Athens, the city was overflowing with idols. In fact, the Roman poet Livy said, "There are more gods in Athens than there are people." And remember, we said there was religious activity coming out the wazoo in this town. What Paul says here is that all that religious activity doesn't impress God in the least. That what God wants from you people in Athens is he wants you to repent. He wants you literally to change your mind. And you say, "Lon, change their mind about what?" Well, friends, to change their mind about how they were planning to get eternal life. To change their mind about how they were planning to get to heaven and get right with God. To stop relying on their own human effort, their own religious activity. To change their mind and instead be willing to rely on Jesus and what he did for them on the cross. Now, in our world today, we have all kinds of sincere people who are sincerely doing all kinds of religious activity. And may I say, God is no more impressed with human religious activity today than he was with human religious activity in Athens. God wants from people today just what he wanted from these people in Athens. He wants us to change our mind, to stop relying on our own efforts to make us right with God and get us to heaven, and instead to rely on what Jesus did for us on the cross. If you're here today and you're still relying on your own human effort, your own religious activity, I'm here to tell you, if God didn't grant eternal life to the people of Athens with all their religious activity, he's not going to grant it to you and me. But the good news of the Bible is that God does grant eternal life to people who are willing to trust what Jesus did for them. Something to think about. We hope you will. Well, let's go on. Paul says, verse 31, "For God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice," there's our word, "with justice by the man he has appointed, namely the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Jesus himself spoke of this delegation of authority to judge the human race that God had given him. He said, John chapter 5, verse 22, "God the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to me, the Son." Jesus said, John 5, verse 27, "God the Father has given me the authority to execute judgment." This is why Peter said, Acts chapter 10, that God ordered us to tell people that Jesus is the one whom he has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And verse 31, Paul goes on to say that God has given proof of this to all men, proof that Jesus is who he said he is, proof that Jesus is going to judge every human life, every human word, every human action, every human deed, every human motive that has ever been done. And what was that proof? Well, Paul says it was by raising this man, Jesus, from the dead. This is God's good housekeeping stamp of approval on Jesus as telling us the truth. Now, we all know that as soon as the resurrection was mentioned, the sermon on Mars Hill came to an end. The meeting completely broke apart in chaos. I have the feeling Paul wanted to say more, that this was not the end of the sermon he had planned, but this was the end of the sermon. And so many commentators focus on the fact that this meeting flew apart in chaos that I'm afraid they go by and miss the full impact of what Paul just said in this verse, verse 31. He said two very important things for you and me to know. Number one, he told us that God has chosen a very special person to judge the human race. The Bible tells us that we are going to be judged not by some computer, not by the matrix, but that we are going to be judged by a person. A person who knows all things, a person who has seen all things, a person who understands all things. Nothing's going to get by this person. No one's going to trick this person. He is the ultimate Judge Judy, if you understand what I'm saying. And he's going to judge, and nobody's going to be able to trick him. Number two, the verse tells us that this person is going to judge the world with justice. That's what verse 31 says, with justice. Now, we may not see much justice in our world today, but God is telling us that there is coming a day when we will see justice done in this world. And Jesus, the presiding judge, made that clear. He said, Luke chapter 12, verse 2, for there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed. And there is nothing hidden that will not be known. What people have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what they have whispered in secret shall be shouted from the rooftops. Hey, friends, you know all those people that you know who are convinced they've gotten away with it? You know all those people you know who are convinced they pulled the wool over everybody's eyes and that stuff is done, gone, it is never going to be seen or heard from again? Ha ha. That's all a big mirage. That's not true. What does Jesus say? He says, hey, what those people have whispered over in the corner of the office building is going to get shouted from the rooftop. What those people have plotted and schemed and connived to do in the dark, it's going to come out and we're all going to see it. Jesus said, hey, you know what? Ain't nobody getting away with nothing. And if they think it's gone and it's never coming back, they are sorely mistaken. Jesus said, I'm going to judge every word, action, motive, and deed that's ever happened in human history. You can count on it. Now, you say, well, Lon, I hear that, but what assurance can you give me that this is really going to happen? I mean, what assurance can you give me true justice is really going to prevail in our world? Well, the assurance is found in the character of God. The assurance is found in who God is. You see, friends, the Bible tells us that God is both a righteous God and a just God. In fact, Daniel 4 says, all the Lord does is righteous, and all his ways are just. Now, first of all, when we say that God is righteous, what does that mean? It means that everything God does, he always does what is ethically right, what is morally pure, and what is utterly virtuous. That God can do no other. He is a righteous being who is not capable of doing anything differently. But then the Bible also tells us God is just. And what this means is that not only does God personally operate in righteousness, but it means he also cares about the fact that his creation operates righteously. Because God is just, that means God cares about how people treat people. Because God is just, that means that God cares about the wrongs that people have done to you, that people have done to me. Because God is just, that means that God is committed to repaying every act of injustice with appropriate payback when the time is right, when in the wisdom of God everything is ready. God promises us that absolute justice will be administered to every human being. And how can we know for sure it's going to happen? Friends, that's the character of God. That's who he is. Now you say, well, Lon, if I wanted to go in the Bible and find a promise, find out God actually saying that in the Bible, that he's going to see to it that what goes around comes around, where would I go? Well, there's lots of places, but one of my favorite is Galatians chapter 6. Listen to what God says. He says, do not be deceived. Nobody makes a fool out of God. For whatever a person sows, that is exactly what they will reap. God says here in Galatians 6 that he has set up an inescapable law for human behavior, for human conduct, and that law is whatever a person sows, that is exactly what they're going to reap. You know, when my children were younger, my wife Brenda kept bugging me to plant a garden. She said, we need to go out in the front yard, we need to clear a bunch of space, we need to dig it up, and we need to plant a garden. I didn't want to do this, so I kept saying, I don't understand what is the big deal about planting a garden. And she said, I want my boys to know where tomatoes come from. Now see, I grew up Jewish, And when you grow up Jewish, you know where tomatoes come from. They come from the supermarket. Everybody knows that. Friends, we don't get anywhere near a garden unless it's for a catered party, if you understand what I'm saying. So I didn't have a clue how to plant a garden, never planted a garden in my life. My wife took me out there and said, I'm going to teach you how to do this, and she did. And you know, I learned a very interesting truth. You know what I learned? I learned whatever you plant in the ground, that's exactly what comes up. I learned if you plant green beans, you don't get broccoli, you don't get eggplants, you don't get Brussels sprouts, thank God, you get green beans. If you plant rutabagas, you get rutabagas. It's an amazing law. Well, you know what? That not only is God's inviolable law of gardens, that is God's law of human behavior. He says it right here in the Bible, and God says nobody is ever going to beat that law. It may look like some people have beat that law. It may look like some people have gotten away scot-free, but friends, it's just a mirage. Don't you believe that? God says if anybody beats this law, they make a fool out of me. And what did he say in this verse? Nobody makes a fool out of God. It ain't going to happen. So let's summarize. What have we learned so far? We've learned that because God is righteous, number one, God cares about his world operating righteously. Number two, because God is just, he is committed to repaying every act of unrighteousness that happens. And number three, because God is God, nobody is going to escape his law of sowing and reaping. What goes around is going to come around. The chickens are always going to come home to roost. And as Paul said it on Mars Hill, God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice. God is going to see to it personally. And what Dante's carved on the wall, God will give me justice, is right. He's going to. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage because we have a question to ask, don't we? Yeah, okay. And we all know the question, so we're ready, right? Deep breath. Here we go. One, two, three.
So what?
Right. Say, Lon, so what? Say, this is very interesting. I've never been in prison in France. I've never even been to France. What difference does any of this make to me? Well, let's answer that question. I believe there's not a one of us here who can't relate to this idea of justice. Friends, every one of us here in our life has had somebody who has hurt us, betrayed us, mistreated us, abused us, victimized us by some kind of unrighteous behavior. Maybe our father deserted us or our parent abused us. Maybe our relative betrayed us or our coworker sold us out. And maybe a member of the opposite sex used us or a friend stabbed us in the back or somebody we were in business with cheated us. I don't know. But every one of us here knows what it feels like to have somebody do something to us that is slimy, that is unrighteous, that is sneaky, that is underhanded, that is just wrong. And when that happens, we're all wired the same. Every one of us is wired to say, wait a minute, there ought to be some justice here. Wait a minute, there ought to be some payback here. Wait a minute, there ought to be some leveling of accounts here. We're all wired that way. We all feel that way. Sometimes we even go out in our own human energy trying to help that justice along. Now, as followers of Christ, in light of God's promise that he's made, that one day he's going to judge the world with justice, that one day he's going to see to it himself things are made right, my question is, does that mean as followers of Jesus that we ought to handle these feelings differently than the other people in our world system do? Well, we should. And we're going to find the answer for that in just a moment. But before we see God's answer as to how we should handle them, let me make it absolutely clear what we're talking about here. I want to make it clear I'm not talking here about criminal activity. I believe criminal activity needs to be prosecuted, and it's perfectly okay for us as followers of Christ to prosecute criminal activity. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the whole other category of what people do to us, things that there's no law against, things that you can't put them in jail for, but things that are still unrighteous, wrong, slimy, nasty, conniving, dirty, and it hurt. That's the stuff we're talking about, all right? Now, what do we do with that stuff? Because we've all had it happen. Romans chapter 12, here's the answer. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil, God says. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's justice to operate. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. See, as followers of Christ, friends, Romans 12 tells us that when we're mistreated, when people do those nasty, slimy, awful things to us, God asks us to exhibit a radically different response than the rest of our world. God asks us to take the high road. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God says, I'm asking you not to lower yourself, not to cheapen yourself, not to go down and mud wrestle with those people on their own level in an attempt with human effort to even the score, to right the wrong. God says, don't do that. And you might say, well, why shouldn't I do it? And the answer is, friends, because you don't have to. You don't have to. Remember what God just said in verse 19, I will repay. I've seen everything everybody did to you. I know exactly what went on, maybe even better than you know what went on. And I am a just God. I will avenge every wrong that's been done to you. I will settle every account that needs to be settled. And oh, by the way, I will do a much better job than you'll ever do. Just let me have it. That's what God says. Just let me have it. I will repay. And what God asks us to do, friends, with the hurt that people have done to us, and oh, by the way, with all the hurt people are going to do with us before our life is over, God says, what I want you to do is I want you to turn loose of it emotionally. I want you to turn it over to me. I want you to believe God when I tell you that I see what went on, and I want you to believe me when I tell you that I'm going to settle the account. Now, I may not settle the account as fast as you want me to, and I may not settle the count exactly the way you want me to, but you have my solemn promise, friend. I will settle that account. It will happen in my perfect way, in my perfect time. So don't lower yourself. Don't let yourself get consumed with bitterness and envy and jealousy and revenge and malice. Take the high road, friends. Just entrust it to me. Now, you know what encourages me is that the Lord Jesus lived exactly this way. In fact, the Bible says when he was hanging on the cross, 1 Peter 2, verse 23, when they hurled insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered at their hands, he uttered no threats. Now, can you see Jesus on the cross looking down at those people standing around and going, hey, fellas, I'm just telling you, when I get off this cross, you better be out of town because I'm coming at you. You better be gone out of this city. Can you see him saying something like that? Well, no. You say, well, why didn't he say that? Watch. Rather, he kept on entrusting himself to God. Look at this. He kept entrusting what all these people were doing him to God. On what basis could he do that? Because he knew that God will judge justly. He knew this would all be settled. It's just that he didn't have to do it. That's all. And friends, this is what God is asking for from you and me. You know, years ago, 23 years ago almost to be exact, when I first came as the pastor here at McLean Bible Church, I'd never been a pastor of anything in my life. And I came here, and there was an older man of God who was here who said to me one day, could I take you out for lunch? And I said, well, sure. And we went out to lunch, and we're sitting there eating, and he said, now, Lon, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been around a lot longer than you have. And he said, as a pastor, I want to tell you, people are going to hurt you, they're going to abuse you, they're going to misunderstand you, they're going to slander you. And they're going to indulge in all kinds of cheap church politics aimed at you. And I was like, oh, really? And he said, yeah. And let me just say, 23 years later, all of that has happened and worse. So he was absolutely right. He said, so I'm about to give you the most valuable piece of information anybody will ever give you if you want to last as a pastor. I thought, wow. This is going to be profound. This is going to be wonderful. I sat forward on my little plastic bench there in Roy Rogers, and I thought, all right, here it is. Give it to me. I'm ready for the most profound thing anybody's ever told me about the pastoral ministry. He said, you ready? I said, I'm ready. He said, Lon, here's my advice. Be a tunnel, not a wall. And I said, that's it? He said, yeah. I said, I don't even understand what that means. How can that be profound? He said, well, let me explain it to you. He said, what does a wall do? He said, when stuff hits a wall, what happens? He says, Lon, it stops right there. And it falls down at the base of that wall, and it sits at the base of that wall, and it decays, and it putrefies, and it rots, and it stinks at the base of that wall. He said, and that's how a lot of people are when it comes to hurt and abuse and pain. They let it stop at them, and it just sits there, and it rots, and it stinks, and it ruins their life. He said, Lon, what does a tunnel do? You ever see anything sitting at the foot of a tunnel? He said, no, stuff goes right through a tunnel, Lon. Stuff just keeps right on going. And he says, that's what you need to be. You need to let it just go right on through and on to Jesus. And you need to let him take care of all that stuff, not you. He said, I want to set you free today from the tyranny of what people do to you and how people treat you. He said, I want you to be free of that. Can I tell you something? Almost 23 years later, that was the most profound thing anybody ever told me about the pastoral ministry. I'm here today, and I've lasted 23 years almost, because by the grace of God, I've learned to be a tunnel and not a wall. I've learned to let stuff people do and say about me just go right on through if I don't think there's any validity to it, and just say, Lord, you know my heart, you know the truth, you deal with it. I'm not going to lower myself. I'm not going to mud wrestle with these people. You deal with it, God. I'm just going to go on about doing my business. And that's why I'm still standing here today, almost 23 years later. God freed me from the tyranny of how people treated me. And friends, that's what God wants to do for you. He wants to set you free from the tyranny of how people treat you. But you know, walls aren't free. Walls are prisoners of all that stuff that's sitting there rotten and putrefying and stinking. And all that does is produce emotional gangrene that chews up our joy and ruins our spiritual life and even begins to get us like Dante's doubting whether God even exists. I'm telling you, you're not going to make it as a wall, but you will as a tunnel. If you'll just let that stuff go on through and say, you know what? I've got a God who says, I see everything. I'm a just God. I know everything that's happening, and I will repay. You don't need to do a thing. I don't need your help. I don't want your help. You just stay out of it. I'll deal with it. And I'll deal with it my way and in my time, and I'll do better than you. You stay out of it. And you just go on in the joy of your Lord and do what I called you to do. That's all I want you to do. Friends, let me tell you, tunnels are free. Tunnels are free. And God wants you to be free. Let's bow our heads together, shall we? And if you're here today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and you've been a wall in some areas where people have hurt you, or maybe if just being a wall is the way you live your life, because we're all wired that way, I want you to take a moment if you want to and do business with God. You know, all it takes to turn into a tunnel is a decision. A decision that you're going to be free from the way people treat you. That you're going to entrust that stuff to God. So if you want to make that decision right now, why don't you take these quiet moments and you talk to God. Lord Jesus, as you know, every one of us as human beings, as I said, are wired to be walls. When people do things to hurt us, we love to hold on to that stuff, chew on that stuff, ruminate on that stuff. And that stuff just rots in our soul. Lord, we need you today to lift us above that. And we can be lifted above that if we'll believe what you tell us, that we have a just God who sees it all and has promised that whatever people have sown, that's what they're going to reap. You're going to see to it. Lord, if that's really true, we don't need to be walls. We can be tunnels. And so set us free today, Lord, from the tyranny of what people do to us. Lord, today liberate us into the freedom of walking with you and having the Spirit of God give us true joy, because we don't hold on to hurt. We entrust hurt to you, and then we leave it there. Lord, change our lives. Change the very way we live, because we were here today. And for those people today who prayed and said, God, I want to be a tunnel on this, you give them your special help in making that happen, I pray. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website, or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?